This is I Should Be Writing Season 18, Episode 2, when we're going to be talking about world writable to-do lists and what in the world does that have to do with writing.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing.
And hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. It is 2022. Still trying to wrap my brain around that. I stream this podcast for writers on Twitch twice a week at twitch.tv/mightymer at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we do some editing and put it up in the podcast feed later on. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever podcasts are found. I hear that they're most popularly found by Apple Music and Spotify. I'm on both of those. So, let's see how I can tell this story. To talk about what I've been up to, I was going to say, I was just chatting with my agent last night over email, and we were talking about one thing. And then at the tail end of the conversation, completely out of nowhere, he's just like, so where's book two? And I'm like, I just started it. It's not due till May. And that was a little unnerving, and because of various appointments I had, Monday was a good writing day, Tuesday and Wednesday, not so much. So today, with the panic and everything, yeah, I got about 3,100 words on the new book. So we're at almost 4,000 words. I've pretty much got a first chapter down. And today I learned, this is great, today I learned that Pluto has red snow because of methane, and they've named an area that's larger than Alaska, apparently, Cthulhu. And I'm trying to read a CNN story about Pluto talking very seriously about Cthulhu and not delving into, and I'm going mad. And it was really hard to do, but yes, there is a, there is a area called Cthulhu, and I put a note in my manuscript because I figure someone's going to say, what the hell is this? I'm going to say, no, it's legit. Cthulhu. Look it up. CNN. And you know what? I have two good friends and one acquaintance who's are in the space job industry. Very fancy, fancy folks. One was in training to be an astronaut. I mean, I got space people to talk to, and none of them have said, hey, Mer, you know what's cool? I Pamela, what have you done? Really, I'm hurt. Yeah, so working on book two has been gone. And it's interesting, I've noticed as a reader, sometimes it's hard to, moving directly from book one to book two feels like a whiplash. Because ideally, everybody's kind of happy at the end of book one. Or at least things are, in a lot of books, not all of them, but, you know, everyone, you know, you got your conflict and your excitement, and then the settle down, the denouement, and then they're all like, okay, well, that's over. And then you got to start it up again with book two, unless you end at the very middle of a scene and then people hate you, or you're George R. R. Martin. And to create conflict in book two, you kind of have to give us things, give the reader stuff that happened that they don't see. So, like, two good friends or lovers or something will not be as close at the beginning of book two because you want that conflict to be something you can build on. And you kind of have to play that carefully, obviously. It's, I remember, I was a big fan of news radio, and I couldn't remember why I stopped watching it. And so I watched it again. I was a big fan again. And it, news radio? No. What was the one with Felicity Huffman and the guy, she and the guy who ended up on 6 Feet Under? Aaron Sorkin wrote it. Sports Night? Sports, I don't know. It's the one where they're playing sports newscasters, and there's a lot of sexual tension and good relationship building, a lot of unrequited angst. And at the end of season one, spoiler, it's like the two main people have kind of moved everything that's between them aside. Sports Night, thank you, Daniel. That is between them, and they get together, and it's beautiful, and yay, season one's over, and the people we've been cheering for are all together. And then season two happened, and they're not together anymore because she decided he needed to go find what he wanted, or basically they split, and it felt like because plot. And Aaron Sorkin's supposed to be a good writer. That is really crappy, crappy reasoning. It's like if you know, you can have, well, like Schitt's Creek did, you can have two people who are really, really like sexually into each other, and once that fire dims a little bit, they realize they have nothing between them, and then it ends. But no, we didn't get to see any of that. We saw them happy, and then they were apart because she decided he needed to do maturing or something. And so I'm trying to be careful of that. But I did want to try to give my person somewhat happy ending at the beginning of... I'll tell you what I'm trying to do. I just realized the name for it. It's the, you got everything you wanted and it's not what you expected. So, in trying to take what she has now and then trying to turn it into what she wants, kind of thing. Anyway, so yeah, that's the work I've been doing on the book. Didn't do my shame stream yesterday because I ended up having to do all the things. And if you remember from Tuesday, my resolution or thing, goal for this year, whatever you want to call it, is to bring my whole ass, you know, do the whole ass quotient. Don't just half-ass things. Don't cut corners. Don't just, you know, if you're in the middle of the work, do the work. And that means that when I'm at the pharmacy and he says, we're working on another one of your auto refills, we'll be ready in about 10 minutes. And you think, I don't think I have that kind of time. You probably should, because that means you don't have to go to the pharmacy in the future. It means when I had to seriously talk myself into getting gas, because right now, Murr was thinking, I'm tired. I've been doing errands all morning, and I think tomorrow Murr should be able to fill the tank. Of course, tomorrow Murr will forget that the tank needs to be filled until she leaves. And then the hatred to past Murr happened. So, really, I was trying to go through everything I needed to do and really do it. And unfortunately, sometimes doing the whole job takes time. More time than you expected. So, I'm proud of myself for actually doing everything I needed to do, but it really took a lot more time than I thought it would. I did get the Fonda Lee books out in the mail. There were two winners to that, so I think it was Hossarian and Todd, so those should be arriving soon. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Just, you know, stuff. Beginning of the year, I discovered I'm having a real problem not meshing 20 and 21 into one year, because whenever I think about the pandemic starting, I'm going back to last March. And no, that's not when it happened. Definitely not when it happened. We're like on month 22. All of 2021 was dealing with this. And it's actually a little hard for me to remember when things happened. You know, we're talking to a doctor about a procedure that I'd had before, and I said, yeah, I got it last year, and Numbers Ninja looks at me, she's like, no, 2020. And I'm like, that wasn't last year, was it? So, yeah, I'm thinking about all these weird time fracture things. So, anyway, that's pretty much it with me. Lots of errands and lots of writing today. I'm hoping I can keep up the momentum. But if you guys, let's do some good news. The good news I have is personal and not really for the stream, but things are getting better. For me, nothing huge, but, I got like 90% of the stream stuff working again. Everything from the Stream Deck buttons to the bot, even though the bot's still unable to do shoutouts, and I don't know why. But if you guys have any good news, please let me know. And if you have any good news and you're listening to this on the feed later on, I want to hear your good news too. You just got to email me, put good news in the subject, and I'll read it on the next show. Is the bot shy? Bot is not really shy. The bot says shout out this person, but it doesn't answer itself to do the shout out. Numbers Ninja, who's also got all the powers the bot does, they do a shout out comes up. I don't know. But I was going to tell you guys something. I have already messed it up, but another thing I did on, another thing I did was, I'm counting rejections. So if you tell me you get a rejection, we're all going to be team rejection this year, and we got the button, and team rejection numbers go up, and that's supposed to change. It's supposed to change. It really is. Please. Please something work. Okay, there it is. There it is. Okay. Good. Good. I'm going to reset it because we don't have any yet, but I have our rejections. We got a ding. Actually, it doesn't hear a ding. It just says ding, and I've got a bell here. Probably should get a ding. Yeah, get a ding. Okay. It's weird when you're looking for sound effects because you don't realize how many different sound effects there are. Like, you think you want a bell, and you want the bell to be like the hotel come get someone to take my bags bell. And you look up bell, and you get little tinkly bells, and you get Christmas bells, and you get church bells, and you get alarm bells. And I'm like, I just wanted one little ding. And yeah, so. Okay, Kimmy says, I have some financial good things that include getting paid to spend my New Year's Eve literally playing with puppies. Wow. That is amazing. We're checking the yay button. Does the yay button work? The yay button works. Good. Ooh, cover for my next book finalized. That's nice, Shale. Congratulations. I guess you're happy with it if it's finalized. Do another one for the art while I try. I'm going to reset the ding thing. Start amount, zero. Next time I hit it, it should go to one. So yeah, team rejection, we're ready. I won't touch it again. Probably not. So we're here. If that's it for the good news, I'm going to just say hooray for everybody who has news but don't want to share. And we'll get moving to our topic. I have one of those things where people, it feels so obvious once I figure it out, and it's embarrassing. But I, either in a fit of not respecting myself, not respecting my time, seeing myself as I need to do things for other people. I would often use my to-do list, my email, as a to-do list because it's always people asking me, you know, X needs to be done. Which is funny because writing almost never ends up on my to-do list because only rarely does it actually show up in my email. And when it shows up in my email that something needs to be done, it's usually a panic time or a turning in time. And years and years and years and years ago, I remember Patrick Nielsen Hayden from Tor had said that if you do your to-do list based on your email, you're basically making a world-writable email list or world-writable to-do list. And that stuck with me big time because I'm like, he's absolutely right. You know, people email you and you have to decide, is this going to be worth my time to look at, comprehend, and possibly answer? Or can I just archive it? I know some people who archive everything and don't do anything until someone emails again. It feels kind of rude, but today, as I said, I had a really good writing morning. I even got up and I exercised and I ate a really good breakfast and then sat down to write. And I wrote with Cameron Hurley for 2 hours and then wrote 2 more hours. And then I looked at my email and I started to panic because it was just so many things. And this is not like, a lot of these can be done in 5 minutes, but it's the constant switching gears that worries me. I've talked before about how it's hard for me to prioritize from a list. And how it's, I've started doing the random number generator way of doing the list, which is, I'm going to let the universe tell me which one is important to do. Which works if you've got a whole bunch of little things, which I did. But I just started going down the list. And but what I did before that, I'm really good at telling stories, linear storytelling here. I looked at my email and I realized it was a world writable to-do list, and that was unfair. And I finally, like, this statement has always been at the back of my head, and I never really understood what was wrong with that, because someone needs something from me. They email me, and I either email them back, or I do the thing, or I ignore it. But it seemed obvious, but prioritizing is the thing. You know, I'm not even going to say what any of them were. Many of them were important. Many of them would also take a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes to do, but when I looked at my inbox, I just kind of shut down. So I got a piece of paper and I wrote some sort of keyword for every email that was there. And then I archived it. And I knew that when it was time to do that thing, I could just search for the keyword and bring up the email and deal with it then. I wasn't cutting them off. I was just putting them aside so they didn't distract me from other things that I needed to do. And that felt good. And I got a lot of stuff done. I actually wrote down how long I assumed something would take me, and then how long it actually did. And I only underestimated once. It was a gross underestimation. It was huge. Which is why I was a little late today. And I'm not wearing makeup. It was realizing that, yes, the world can give me things to do, but it's my job to prioritize them. And it's my job, and it's my right, when I'm being respectful of my own time, to say, yeah, you can give me this to do, but I get to decide when you get it. And that's not going to change much about what I do, but it's going to change my approach to it. Because I'll probably still get stuff done. This is not about saying yes or no to things. This is just about approaching your work and respecting your own time and your own projects. I've started writing early morning and it's still working for me most of the time. Sometimes I'll decide that I can get distracted and focus on something else. And then I look up, like I did on Tuesday, and realize that my writing time is over and I've done nothing except for, what did I do on Tuesday? Oh, I did a lot of Patreon stuff, which was important, needed to be done, but probably not in the morning. But actually, I know I will go to the yes and no thing. It's really funny that if you look at the right books on productivity or self-help or growth or whatever you want to call it, there's going to be stuff that says, what happened to my life when I said no to everything and really put myself first? And nearby is going to be Shonda Rhimes' book, which is The Year of Yes, the year I said yes to everything and became open to everything and all the things that happened. And I'm like, which one? Because you hear that there's, that you close yourself off for too much and you don't step up to opportunities. And imposter syndrome affects this big time. And it's true. A lot of us, especially creative types, especially marginalized groups, you know, will see an opportunity and go, I don't think I can do that. And granted, I know there's a lot of people with illness that need to take time for themselves, and I'm not putting that in here. I'm talking mostly about imposter syndrome. So please understand, I'm not talking about chronic illness being an excuse or anything. But so the year of yes, like Shonda Rhimes said, is interesting. It's an interesting thing. But then you've got people saying, you know, if you say no to things, everything you say yes to, you're saying no to yourself, or you're putting somebody else's project above your own. And well, that's not always bad. It's good to work on other people's projects. But it's still kind of, yeah, I guess it's still balance that you need. And so how do you know when to do yes and no on this? And I wasn't planning on talking about this, so I didn't do any prep, but it just reminded me that it's kind of weird that there's advice out, there's self-help advice out there to say yes to everything, and then there's self-help advice out there to say no to everything so you can focus on yourself. And it's just hard to know. People are talking about productivity things in the chat. Okay, Kimmy says, when I worked as a records clerk, I left everything in my inbox and just color-coded emails, done, in progress, etc. I've got a ton of reminders in Google Calendar for time-sensitive repeating to-dos. I've also got several checklists in Google Keep for non-critical tools. I've heard of people using Jira for personal tasks. Seems a bit of overkill, but it's probably extremely effective. I don't know what Jira is, Tree Lobsters. Can you elaborate? Underpope started using Remember the Milk and transitioned away from my bullet journal. It's worked out well for me. I mistakenly bought a year subscription to Remember the Milk. Very angry with myself. Because just like every other digital to-do list, I used it for a little bit and then I ignored it. And that's just the way my brain works. I gotta write it down on paper. Remember the Milk is it's a pretty sophisticated to-do list. It'll let you take your to-do list and break it all down. It is surprisingly complex to say, remind me to do this on this time, which you think would just be an obvious thing for a to-do list, because that's what I need. I need to be reminded at a time that something needs to be done. But you got to jump through a lot of hoops and Remember the Milk to make that happen, which was also really irritating that I bought a year subscription. Yes, figure out what works for you. Hey, Space Valkyries, since The shout-out did not work. Everyone should follow Space Valkyrie's awesome, fun game streamer. Task Manager with apps for desktop, web, iPhone, and Android is useful for me. Remember the milk. Yes. I use Google To-Do List. My husband works for Google, and I didn't even know that existed. I'll have to check that out. My friend just recommended Notion to me for organization, so I'm trying that one out to keep track of content creation, short story submissions, so I stop forgetting. That's a good idea. Hey, Billy Boy, good to see you. Putting messages in archives is dangerous. If you can't respond to an email within 1 week, that means it's not very important to you. Delete it. I pretty much archive everything because I don't want to lose anything. And every once in a while, I'll go in and like delete all the email from Twitter or, you know, get rid of all that. I think they tried to call it bacon one time and it just never took place. Like, spam is stuff you don't want. Bacon is stuff you once said you did want, but then suddenly you are getting a whole bunch different emails filling up your thing. Thank you for the shout out numbers, Ninja. Appreciate you being on that. Reuse it, ignore it cycle. Same only thing works for me is a paper planner. Yeah. And paper planners are too easy for me to forget everywhere. The problem, Shauna, is I have that problem too. I have both problems. At least I feel like when I get the need to remember something, my first instinct is the closest piece of paper and pen. I don't even like pencils. And I never think, oh, I should just put that in my phone. And sometimes when I do it, I don't even know what to do. Like, I'm like, I need this fast. Do I try to find out where the hell I put notes on the phone? Usually I pull up Gmail and just open a draft and put what I need in the draft and then get it when I'm on my computer, which I'm pretty sure there are a lot more better ways to keep track of notes. Oh boy. Yeah. I keep two to-do lists, says Shale. Writing related and is in planner software that's publishes to my calendar. Personal items go on the computer's stock to-do list. In theory, neither list will overwhelm me. That's good. I need the tactile of paper planners to pin things down in my mind. Hey, Todd, glad you could make it. On the other hand, I've been inexplicably resistant to writing to-do lists lately. You know, okay, Kimmy, do what works for you. If you're still getting stuff done, don't worry about it. Tree Lobster says, Jira is normally used for software development. You can set up projects, tasks, etc. Add requirements, acceptance criteria, deadlines, prioritize, bundle into sprints, you name it. Wow, that's a lot. I know when I'm in edits and I start to lose track of what my most recent one is, I even try to save a new version of what I was working on based on a new date. So, like, in theory, if you put all the files together, the most obvious one will end up at the end because that's, you just did the date correctly. But it never seems to work. And several times my husband's threatened to teach me, like, versioning, the kind of versioning the software engineers do. I kind of think that might be overkill, but it might be useful too because I just have so many starts to novels and then so many finishes to novels and it's a mess. Ugh. Just makes me tired to think about it. But I guess it all boils down to the fact that whether you use your email as World Writable to-do list or not, however you prioritize it, remember that. Think about your time as in paying yourself first. That's what financial people say. Like, put money in your savings account first when you get your paycheck, not at the very end if you have money over. Which I know in today's weird capitalism fail time is a lot harder for a lot of people to do. But the same concept applies and the same limitations, true, when it comes to figuring out the time you're going to be writing, because if you're here and you're listening, then I assume that you've got some sort of creative goal in your life. And if it's a creative goal to start going in a professional direction, either traditional or self, making sure you make your time, you grab some of that time for your own, is it's key. One thing I didn't talk about on Tuesday about the whole New Year's resolution thing is the thing people don't talk about is that when you want to bring something new into your life, something else has to go. And, you know, I talk about it when people say, how can I find time to write? It's like, you don't find time, you make time, because you look at the things you do that are not, you know, that you could cut. Yeah, you don't want to cut your gaming time. You don't want to cut your viewing time, but that's the stuff you can't cut. You cut some of that, you've got time to write. Again, this does not take into account personal energy, spoons, illness. I'm just kind of talking on the baseline. You know how much you can give to building a creative career, and only you know that. But if you can, if you want to start doing something new because of the New Year's resolution, find something to cut. For me, it's sleep. I've been getting up earlier to ride my bike. I have not been going to bed earlier, so I'm afraid that might come back to hit me. I just need to start going to bed earlier. But yeah, it's prioritizing, and prioritizing yourself, self-respect, all that stuff. It's very important. But I'm going to end the podcast here and still chat with folks a little bit on the stream. And if you're listening via Patreon, then you're hearing the rest of this too. If you want to support the podcast through Patreon, it's patreon.com/mightymer. I've got some new tiers going up on January 17th. If you have been toying with the idea of supporting my Patreon, I would recommend doing it now, because the tiers are going to change and the pricing is going to change. The $1 level is going away. If you support at the $1 level, nothing's going to change for you. Nothing at all. This is all new people going forward. Making that clear. But if you want to, if you're not a supporter and you want to be, now's the time to do it. Or you can support me at, every streamer I see says it differently. Is it coffee because it's buy me a coffee? Or is it Ko-fi because, or is it Ko-fi because that's what it looks like? I don't know, but ko-fi/mightymer, that's where I have that if you prefer to use that service, which seems pretty cool. Yeah, and you want to find me overall, merverse.com is where all my stuff is. So I appreciate the support, appreciate you listening, appreciate you letting people know what's going on, and keep listening. We'll be back on Tuesday, and you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who. I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.